Hello, my name is Thomas. Welcome to British Culture. Albion never dies. This week, I have a very special guest, Pete Brooker, known on Instagram and YouTube as From Tailors With Love. And of course, he wrote the book From Tailors With Love, An Evolution of Menswear Through the Bond Films, co-authored with Matt Spacer. Now, he has a new book. Pete Brooker's new book is Boy Wanted on Savile Row with Timothy Everest, MBE. Timothy Everest was given his MBE in recognition of his services to gentlemen's tailoring. And I'll just quickly read from the blurb of the new book, The Son of Restaurateurs. Young Timothy Everest wanted nothing more than to be a racing driver. This was not to be, but little did he know that a job he took at age 17 as a sales assistant at Hepworth's in Milford Haven would set the trajectory for success to come. Boy Wanted on Savile Row is the remarkable story of Everest's meteoric rise in the British fashion industry. Starting in the 1980s and studying under Tommy Nutter, the rebel of Savile Row, while rubbing shoulders with the likes of Steve Strange and Boy George, he branched out on his own the following decade. Here, he initially styled bands and pop stars before spearheading the Cool Britannia generation and becoming the face of the new bespoke movement. After earning over 3,500 clients, including Tom Cruise, David Beckham and Jay-Z, to name but a few, Everest turned his hand to tailoring for film, creating some truly iconic pieces for such franchises as James Bond and Mission Impossible. In this revealing memoir featuring a wealth of famous names and celebrity anecdotes, Timothy Everest details the evolution of British tailoring that has shaped the way we view and buy our clothes. As I say, my special guest this week is the author, Pete Brooker, and friend. And I'm delighted to have him on to talk about this new book, Boy Wanted. Hello, Pete Brooker from Tailors With Love. Thank you very, very much for joining me tonight.
Thank you very much for having me back, Thomas.
It's been a while. And I'm very interested to talk to you about your new book.
Yes. Well, first off, thanks, honestly, for inviting me on the show to talk about this, because you're the first person that I've actually had to sing about the book. You know, it's coming out March 21st, it's called Boy Wanted on Savile Row, From Apprentice to Tailoring Icon. And it's the memoir by Timothy Everest. Timothy Everest, I'm sure some of your listeners will know, did the suits for Ralph Fiennes in Skyfall and Spectre. And that's initially how I got to know Timothy, because I interviewed him for the From Tailors With Love book. Mm. And from there, we've had him on the podcast a few times. He's tailored clothes for Henry Cavill in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 1 and 2. So I've got to know Timothy quite well through the last few years, I'd say. And although I would caveat that with, each time I see him and I go into the shop, before we started the book, that is, I would always say, Timothy, it's me, it's Pete. You know, we've spoken on the phone. And there's this kind of, like, he glosses over. He goes, yeah, of course, Pete. And I'm like, I don't think he knows who I am. And that's not because he's got dementia or anything. I just think it's because my self-esteem, I don't think I'm that memorable to him. He does like 100 odd interviews, I'm sure. Like every, you know, he's very used to being interviewed, and I was no exception to him. So I wasn't remarkable enough for him to remember me. And so I always had that in the back of my mind. Every time I see him, I'm like, it's Pete Brooker from Tailors With Love. And he's like, Yeah. I think I know.
And yet you won through in the end. You've got the inside scoop on his life.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I contacted him about a year and change ago and asked him if he'd ever consider writing his memoir, because, you know, his filmography alone is fantastic. I mean, Eyes Wide Shut as well. We're not mentioning like films like Prometheus. And I've just thought, even if we're just talking about the films, because each time I watch a film, I'm like, oh, it'd be great to get Timothy on the podcast to talk about this film and that film. And I've done it like countless times on the From Tailors With Love podcast. He's been on to talk about every film that he's done almost individually. And I just wanted to, you know, talk endlessly about films with him. So I asked him, had he considered doing it? Mm. And he said he actually had considered writing a memoir, but not, I don't think he's really got the time to sit down. And also, I don't think, and I'm speaking for Timothy here, he might say something different. I don't think he's that revisionist where he would want to go back and really think about what he's done over the years and put it down to paper, because I think Timothy is a guy who's very much forward thinking. It's very much what's the project we're doing now,
Okay.
when I talk to him now, we're kind of planning interviews and press junkets and whatnot, and we're doing it like a month ahead. And so I kind of got a little window into his work life, and it's always forward thinking. It's always like, we've got to plan out, we've got to strategize. What are we going to be doing for the next 6 months with regards to, interviews? And so I think he's that way in life. And he's often told me, as we finished the book now, and he goes, "Well, look, Pete, it all kind of happened in a blur. And it's only because you send me pictures of half of the things that I've talked about do I remember that it actually exists." And it kind of affirms what I've been telling you. So,
Oh,
for
that's really
example,
interesting.
yeah. So, for example, he went to the Oscars because he was helping Loren, the fashion designer, with some of the suits for people that were getting up, like Burt Bacharach and Tom Cruise. He was dressing all these celebrities, so he had to be in and around the ceremony itself. And he was talking about the crikey, what who was the name? The girl, Angelina Jolie. Sorry, Angelina
All
Jolie.
right.
And he was kind of in and around Angelina Jolie when she got nominated, I think, for Girl Wanted and got up and won. And so I went back and looked it up on YouTube at that moment where she won the Oscar, and there's Timothy in the background. And I screen grabbed it off YouTube and sent it to him. I go, it did happen. And he's like, "Oh my God, that's exactly." So yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of his career, especially during the 90s, early 2000s, there was so much going on in his life that he wouldn't have time to do a podcast, for example. Not that they were around back then, but that he had no time to sit down and write a journal or a thesis on everything that's going on in his life. So, it was always, let's do it now, and then let's think about the next thing, and let's juggle as many balls, spin as many plates as we can. So yeah, it was a really interesting story to listen to, but that's kind of the that's kind of my take on it, really.
Yeah, that's really interesting. He obviously, he met all the high flyers. It's not the environment that he started in, right? He didn't go straight into that.
No, I mean, so his start out in life was in Milford Haven. So he was very much into cars and motor racing when he was younger. And what was interesting when I started talking to him about his life, I thought we would just go straight into fashion, straight into tailoring, but his passion for motor racing is almost as equal to what it is in fashion. So that's why in the book there's like kind of little snippets of motor racing just foreshadowing each chapter. And at the time I was writing the book, I was listening to an audio book of Funeral in Berlin by Len Deighton.
Oh,
And
yeah.
each chapter, I think it's Funeral in Berlin, each chapter starts with a little snippet about chess and kind of like the mind games that goes on with certain things. And then that plays out, or it's a little prelude of what's going to happen in the fourth chapter. So I did that with this book, and I took little sound bites of him talking about motor racing, because inevitably he would always go back and talk about racing, and then somehow kind of try and use that as a metaphor as to what was going to happen in the chapter, and where his mind was then. So yeah, you're right. He didn't start out like, in that circle, shall we say. It happened, I guess, around his later teenage years, his formative years, and when he quickly became a stylist from there, then he moved on. And once you're a stylist, and you get calls from agents and PR people to say, "Look, can you dress George Michael? We're in a pinch. We need him for a music video." And then those are the doors that open for you.
That's really interesting. So he took a fairly low tailoring job. One thing led to another, and now he's at the
Yeah, that's exactly
Oscars.
how it. That's you know, There's a few chapters in between, but no, you're right. It's kind of tailoring for Timothy was, I mean, fashion was always in the background, and tailoring was there because, you know, he started working in clothes shops, in his spare time and his Saturday job, and then hopefully using that money to subsidize his motor racing career and his motorbikes and paying for all the for the race vehicles that he wanted to race. And so that came, a lot later. And probably if he didn't have an accident when he was quite young, who it could have been a real fork in the road for him. He might have pursued something more in the motor racing or the cycling sphere rather than the tailoring sphere. But what is also interesting, what I found listening to Timothy as we were doing the book, was how I don't think in his mind there is too many degrees of separation between all this. And so I think you and I know, Thomas, that when you do content around, say, like James Bond, for example, it's not always about the suit that he wears. It's often about what the environment is. Like, what's he drinking when he's in the casino whilst wearing the suit? What car does he get into afterwards? And, all of these things dovetail, and you can't really look at one and not look at the other. So yeah, I think that's his mindset, and it always has been. He weaves in stories about food, cuisine, high tailoring. It kind of it's a lifestyle, and tailoring just so happens to be a part of that.
That's the through thread as we talk about all these lifestyle things.
Yeah, it's a. I was going to try and use like the wedge in the Trivial Pursuit thing. Trivial Pursuit, where you get like the different wedges. But it wasn't coming together as a metaphor, so I stopped. As so many of my thoughts do, just stop because I can't think of a better way to phrase them. Yeah,
Was recently
sorry
talking
about
to a
that.
friend who mashes metaphors, and he said about a certain problem coming, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
There you go. There you go.
Do
A
enjoy this.
better way of saying it. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so he's a very interesting, he seems a very interesting story, a very interesting man.
Yeah, you've met him
Yeah,
at
I've met him
my
very briefly.
birthday. Yeah. No, but he's also, I mean, people do get to meet Timothy. I mean, he's working right now out of grey flannel on Chilton Street. So he has a studio underneath there, and grey flannel is above. And I think it's going to soon be Timothy Everest's grey flannel. That's going to be the sign above the door. So he's very accessible. You can go in, you can buy clothes off the peg, or you can go in and ask for something tailored, something very specific. And, he's pretty much front of house. I mean, he doesn't always come to the shop, but he's often there. And he's very, he's very unassuming, and I found this whilst talking to him. So, I mean, in the process of the book, I spoke to him for about 20 hours because initially I'd go down and we'd do the interviews face to face, and then I got a few parking tickets, and I thought, screw that, I'm going to do this online. I'm going to do this over Zoom. It's much cheaper, and so we did that, and I can then look at how many hours we've logged, and it was about 20 hours of conversations, aside from what we would talk about separately and personally. And throughout that time, I got the impression that he was just a very philosophical guy. He had many vicissitudes in his life with work and business and his personal life, but it didn't seem like there were, he didn't regale them, at least, with huge implosions or explosions. I mean, there is obviously peaks and troughs, because that was going to be the original name of the book, because it was a play on his surname. Everest was going to be Peaks and Troughs. And like any business, there's always going to be the ups and downs. But he was always philosophical about the downs. And in business, I think, especially if you're kind of running your own business, you're always going to lock horns with certain people. You're always going to come up with obstacles, and because you're going to be the person that where the buck stops at the end of the day. And you've got to deal with all of these challenges where most people can probably clock in, clock out, and then, like I've done most of my life, and not have to deal with the big decisions, and or feel the weight of them, and especially if they go wrong. And so I got the impression speaking to him that he knew the highs when they were happening, and he was very philosophical, and he knew when he was taking a gamble, and when it didn't pay off, he didn't look around and blame anyone. He was like, "Well, this one's on me." So yeah, he's a very interesting guy to talk to. He's a very interesting guy to listen to as well. So I was actually very lucky that he trusted me to tell his story. But also, I think what he wanted to do at this juncture in his life, again, I'm putting words in Timothy's mouth. He's not here, but what I think he what my impression is that he wants to get on paper now his life up to now, because like I was saying, he's very forward thinking and he's always looking ahead, what's the next project? And so he can go, right, there's the line in the sand, but I don't just want to talk about the past, I want to talk about where we're going now. So there is, elements in the book that will point to the future as well, and and what's in store for him.
Oh,
So
that's
yeah,
very interesting. Yeah.
that's a lot of, well, that's basically the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And he's been at the center of kind of British tailoring, which I feel at the moment, is it fair to say it's having a renaissance? It's doing well. It hasn't always been the in thing.
Well, and this is what I think he doesn't get enough credit for, was the whole bespoke movement, that the new bespoke movement, I should say, and the Cool Britannia era of the mid 90s, late 90s. Savile Row wasn't singing and dancing basically at this point. It was, it was considered to be very tired, very stuffy, and there was lots of off the peg movements. Armani was coming in. People weren't necessarily needing bespoke suits anymore or tailored suits, because the price point of getting something off the peg or made to measure, had become very, very accessible and very appealing to people that wanted to look smart but not necessarily look Savile Row smart. And Timothy kind of wrangled that theory and put it into a headlock and said, well, actually, tailoring is cool. Looking good is important. And here's why. And he would actually, I think, he wasn't on Savile Row at the time when he set up his own business. This was very much out of East London. But all of the stuff that he was doing in East London kind of pointed towards Savile Row, and Savile Row were the benefactors of that, because they picked up on what was cool again, which was high-end tailoring. So, and I think, again, putting words in his mouth, I don't think he feels like he ever got enough credit for that. To kind of, especially from the Savile Row side, for bringing people back to the tailoring stores.
And he made it cool, and he's well, he did David Beckham's wedding suit, right?
Yeah, he did. Not the one that he got ridiculed for.
Oh.
So there's the wedding suit, and then there's the reception party suit, where I think they turn out in they turn both turn out in purple suits or something like that. Like Matt, there's a comparison to Dumb and Dumber, where Jim Carrey and what's his nose turn up in those freakish suits. So it wasn't those ones.
We won't be mentioning who made those.
I can't remember. I think it's in the book. I can't remember who it was. But he made the tails and for David. And there's a nice moment where, and also this was another big moment for Timothy, where there was press just outside his store all day. So you got to
Oh,
think that,
wow. Yeah.
David Beckham, 20 years on, is still a monolith for the British media. I mean, he was at the BAFTAs just recently and front row, and then he's introducing awards and getting ridiculed for saying that football is soccer, or at least referring. I think he said football or soccer, and then everyone goes, "Don't say soccer. We're British." Jesus Christ, people. But that's because David Beckham spends a lot of time in America, and boy, and this isn't a news flash, but football is everything in America. It is just ubiquitous. I mean, we were there, Anastasia and I, just on holiday in Florida, and just, when there's an away game, people just flood the entire state, because if there's a football game in Florida, even if you don't support Florida, you come in there, you're going to watch the game, and you might be a Raiders fan or something, you're going to watch the game, but you're also going to go to Disneyland, Busch Gardens, you're going to make a week around it. You're going to fly in with your family, but you walk around with your football top on all the time. You have college football that is like has 100,000
Yeah.
seat stadiums in Austin that we went to. Anyway, sorry, getting very
No,
off
it's
piece, but
crazy because in UK universities, you don't have stadiums to watch university students play games.
exactly. You have academies. I mean, you have football academies in the UK, and you don't get that kind of press. I
Yeah.
mean, it's insane. Anyway, so getting back to David Beckham, you're right. But David Beckham is still on television, and he's still relevant, even though he hasn't played football in the last 15 odd years. And he was making his wedding suit, and he's got the press just all outside, like a swarm of vultures trying to get anything out of him. And that's, these sort of revelation. I mean, for Timothy, it's like, wow, this. But that's not just that day. I mean, that could be any day. I mean, he could, he dressed politicians, he dressed prime ministers, he dressed, the great and the good, he dressed, pretty much everyone around that time.
I was
And
thinking of, politicians with their memoirs, and you sometimes have, their story of what happened, their story of what they would like to have happened, their story of what other people should think that they think happened, and so on. And often there's an axe to grind, but there's nothing in this book about that, is there? It's not, he's not carving out a legacy.
no, he's not out to get anyone with this book. And by the way, it wasn't his idea to write it either. So it's not like I've got to write a book and I've got to drag this guy through the hot coals. It was me that approached him. And so I think he's in a good place. That helps. I think in terms of where he is with his business, he's doing what he wants to do again.
Good.
And I think in that element, I mean, maybe if I approached him when, times were tough, he probably might have been a bit more angrier. Who knows? It could have been a more sensational book. But he's not doing too bad, I think.
Good. I'm very curious. You obviously know him now very well. I feel 20 hours is, sufficient. Can you remember the first time you met him, the first time you shook hands?
Well, it must have been must have been about 4 or 5 years ago when we did the From Tailors with Love book. I would have definitely interviewed him personally, but then, sorry, like over the phone or Zoom it. And then I would have had those meetings where I would have gone into the shop and shook hands, and he would have had that faraway look in his eyes, pretending to know who I was. I've got a few photos. So each time I do bump into him, I try and get a photo because I want to, obviously it's good to promote the book and do stories and whatnot, but it's also quite interesting to know, oh yeah, this was 4 years ago and look how hideous I am wearing. Because that's another thing. He looks good all the time. Naturally, he's a tailor, so he's going to look good. And so you always feel underdressed, no matter how good you feel like you do look at the time. And so, yeah, I think it must have been, probably definitely when he was at Grey Flannel. So, I mean, he's been there 2 years. So it might have been just only 2 years ago, maybe.
I just wasn't sure if it's you look across a crowded room, you see him and think he's worth a book.
No, I mean, there's definitely been tailors like that where I bumped into in the past. But I haven't actually crossed paths with Timothy. What is quite funny is that I've been telling friends or like people have got in touch with me and going, oh, wow, you've written, the Timothy Everest memoir. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I've got like four of his suits. I'm like, he goes, yeah, no, I got tailored by him like 20 years. So it's a name that people, certainly recognize. I don't think you have to be a Bond fan or a Mission Impossible fan to know who he is. It might help to be, have a head towards tailoring or the Cool Britannia era to know and for the name to drop. But yeah, I think, sorry, to answer your question, probably about two or 3 years ago, in person.
And then when did the penny drop that you wanted to write a book? Is there a moment? Is there?
Oh, so I think because I was going to get him on the podcast to talk about Mission Impossible 2. It might have been, it had to have been something like that because I'd already had him on to talk, think about Skyfall. I had him on to talk. Well, I've already talking to him about the book for Skyfall and Spectre, and then The Man from Uncle, and then Mission Impossible 1. And I was just working my way through his film, and I just thought, Timothy, rather. And by the way, all of the the interviews that I normally do for the podcast, I transcribe and then put on the blog as show notes so that people can find it and click through it, right? And so I'm thinking, crikey, I've got 20,000 words already, Timothy. Do you want to like just reel off a few more anecdotes and we'll send it to the publisher. So there was, it must have been, I was probably trying to get him on to talk about either Eyes Wide Shut or Mission Impossible 2. And then I just asked him, do you just want to write the memoir instead? And we'll put a leather cover on it and put a title on it.
It's
Yeah,
coming
that's
soon, available from
right.
all good bookshops and Amazon. And
It will be, yeah. No, it'll be on Amazon. It's on Amazon now, depending when you're releasing this, Thomas. I know you asked me before and I didn't give you a good date, but it's published on March 21st. You can pre-order it on Amazon now if you'd like. You can buy it afterwards, but it should be in all good bookshops, we're hoping. And yeah, certainly keep an eye out for it.
brilliant. And bring good fortune to your home if you buy it, and makes a great gift for all friends and all family, I assume.
Yes, yeah, it'll be a great gift. Thanks for
Both
having
will.
me on.
Thank you very much for listening to today's episode. If you're interested in looking at Boy Wanted on Savile Row, then do have a look over at Amazon, where what day of release, this podcast episode release, it's available for pre-order. So you can have yours arrive at your Kindle or through your letterbox straight away. And of course, it's releasing very, very soon. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Of course, we've been talking about tailoring for a long time, so do check out our Instagrams if you want to see how we dress. Pete Brooker is at From Tailor to Love, of course, and I am at Fleming Never Dies. I hope you enjoyed this podcast.